From London, BBC Caribbean Report.
The Castro government makes history tomorrow by allowing citizens to vote, but critics say it's just a sham. The Caribbean and Latin America take their banana battle to the OAS, and more human rights observers during Haiti this weekend. I'm Mike Jarvis, and this is BBC Caribbean Report. On Wednesday, Cubans go to the polls to elect 589 members of the National Assembly, the Cuban Parliament. It's the first election there, but only one party will be contesting the poll, Fidel Castro's Communist Party. This report from Lionel Martin.
Each voting district in Cuba will have the opportunity to elect four or five of the 589 members of the National Assembly by direct vote and a secret ballot. For the 589 seats, there will be 589 candidates, carefully selected by special commission. Of the total, half are little-known grassroots candidates, while the others are better-known personalities such as Fidel Castro himself and the double gold medal winner of the Montreal Olympics, the Cuban gazelle Alberto Huancarena. The name of the game was not to allow any opponents of Cuba's socialist regime onto the voting list. Fidel Castro has said that Cuba is not going to give counter-revolutionaries a chance to even raise their heads. The Cuban leader has traveled the length and breadth of the nation to ask people to vote for the entire list of recommended candidates. This is because if candidates fail to win 51% of the popular vote, they will not be elected. Dr. Castro is aware that if many candidates are not elected, it could be considered a vote of no confidence. President Castro explaining that if the vote is divided, there could be negative consequences. If an opponent of the regime defaces his ballot in some way, his vote will not be counted. But others who want to register their opposition can simply vote for a single candidate and abstain from voting for the others. If enough do that, it would deprive some of the candidates of the 51% needed for their election. Some supporters of the Cuban Revolution are apprehensive about its outcome, and they see a successful vote as an affirmation of Cuba's independence. A Cuban school teacher.
It's right to develop independent without having to accept U.S. conditions as they've been trying to do for all these years.
Others believe that Fidel Castro's government is demonstrating audacity by holding the election. That's the opinion of a Cuban physician.
I feel that Fidel Castro enjoys widespread personal support. A sector of the Cuban people might want to show its dissatisfaction at the polls. Some observers are dismissing the elections as meaningless. But I feel that the government is taking a considerable risk in holding the elections at this point. And this is why Castro himself has been at great pain to asking people to endorse the whole slate as a show of patriotism.
For Fidel Castro, the elections will be a unique experience. It is the first time in more than three decades that citizens, in this case citizens from the city of Santiago de Cuba, where Castro went to school, will have a chance to vote for or against him. For BBC's Caribbean Report, this is Lionel Martin in Havana.
But many in Washington remain unconvinced about Havana's will to change. Elliot Abrams is the former Assistant Secretary of State for Inter-American Affairs under President Reagan.
I think the lesson Castro learned from Eastern Europe, from the Soviet Union, but as well from places like Romania, is that once your grip really begins to slip, it's impossible to get it back on again. It's a very dangerous and slippery slope for a dictator to go down. So I think he is looking for cosmetic changes rather than any serious ones. And that goes for both politics and economics. There have been no profound reforms.
Elliot Abrams. And the BBC's Latin American service held a live link-up with Cuba's Radio Rebelde, during which tomorrow's elections were discussed. On the panel were Cuban officials, dissidents, and analysts. Phil Gunnison, the deputy head of the BBC's Latin American section, was involved in the discussion. I asked him just how democratic the elections were perceived to be by the panelists.
I think it would be fair to say that there wasn't much consensus. I think there was a definite divergence of views between the people, most of them inside Cuba, in the Radio Rebelde studios, who were saying Cuba's elections are the most democratic in the world. This is a step in the consolidation of Cuban democracy, a definite step forward. And those outside who were saying, really, in effect, nothing's changed. The candidates, although it's true that not all of them have to be Communist Party members, they are all, in effect, approved by the party. This is a one-party state. There's no real choice. Things are going on much as before. And it's also true to say, I think, that the Cubans didn't really demonstrate to anybody's satisfaction that this was a substantive change and not just window dressing.
How does one determine success or failure in terms of the upcoming elections in Cuba?
Well, that's a question that I actually put to the Cubans, in which I don't think that they answered, because it seems to me that a democratic system, whatever else it includes, has to include an element, the possibility of losing an election. Now, what they said was, well, Fidel Castro is standing for deputy in the National Assembly. If he doesn't get the requisite 50% of the votes, not only will he not become a deputy, but he'll have to stand down as president of the Council of State. Well, my response to that was, well,